I don't want to burst your bubble here, but professional wrestling is scripted. Yes, somebody other than the wrestlers decides who's going to win or lose the match. Ed Ferrara used to be one of those somebodies. He's the former senior storyline writer for the World Wrestling Federation, which is now called World Wrestling Entertainment, or WWE. For years, professional wrestling denied having staff writers, but in the mid-90s, WWE lifted the veil and announced that professional wrestling was not a sport, but entertainment. What made it time to let the cat out of the bag?
Well, it's a sign of the times, actually. For the longest time, wrestling coasted on the accepted belief that it was, you know, real, or if it wasn't real, there was a good number of people who had an inkling that there was something fishy going on, but couldn't quite put their fingers on it.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of the internet, I attribute it mostly to that, a lot of behind-the-scenes information started getting leaked, and a lot of the illusion was shattered. And again, not so much that people were bereft at the knowledge that professional wrestling was indeed a staged event, you know, that goes hand in hand with like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, but with the knowledge of how it is put together.
Yeah. I want to establish your bona fides here a little bit. In fact, you've had a career as a professional wrestling writer.
Yes, absolutely. And that came after my career as just a standard television writer doing sitcoms and things like that. But what that gave me was an understanding of character, an understanding of story, an understanding of how to build interest, build the audience's interest in the events that were transpiring during the show.
Can you give me an example of the kind of storyline that you develop?
Absolutely. I mean, our job at the end of the day would be to generate the audience's interest. It's kind of akin because there's so much free TV. There's, you know, the Monday night shows that are live on cable. There's other programming that they would have as well. It's somewhat like if an author had written a novel that was 12 chapters long and gave you the first 11 chapters for free and then charged you for that 12th chapter where everything comes together. That 12th chapter for us was the pay-per-view. So our job was to generate interest in the characters, make the audience want to see how it was going to turn out at the pay-per-view. And we would do that in numerous ways. And, you know, you go back to the age-old archetype of good versus evil. We would have our good guys and we would have our bad guys. Uh-huh. In the wrestling business, we'd call them the baby faces and the heels. And we would try and build our interest. We would have the heel do despicable things to the babyface and make the audience want to see the babyface get his revenge ultimately. And we would build up to the pay-per-view. And, you know, the babyface, he would be down but not out as we would lead up to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And the audience would hope to see the babyface, you know, come out on top. And sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't. And sometimes it would be kind of like a non-finish where we would be able to extend it for another month until the next pay-per-view when they would have a rematch. And now this time he's really, really going to beat him.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a matter of keeping all those storylines going. It was much more akin to writing a soap opera than anything else, because we would have an entire roster of wrestlers, baby faces and heels.
Can you tell me? I mean, can you use names? Can you tell me a story that really happened?
Sure, I'll try. It's a while ago, but for example, you've heard of The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. We had this one storyline, and this was when The Rock was first getting a buzz around him. So we had this other character at the time who was, his name was Kane, and he was just this, you know, 7-foot-tall masked monster who just destroyed everybody in his path. And we had a storyline going where Kane would come out several times during the show whenever he felt like it and just destroy everybody in the ring. And we built him up as this unstoppable force. Well, when Rock started, we started at the same time, we started to get the sense that the audience wanted to cheer for Rock. So we did a little experiment and we had Rock be the first guy to stand up to Kane. Normally, when Kane would come out to the ring, guys would scatter and he'd grab them and destroy them. Rock was the first guy that stood up to Kane and got in his face. And when Rock did that, the roof blew off the building. And they liked seeing him stand up to this big monster.
And this is all scripted, by the way. I mean, you're making the decision about the monster being the monster and Rock.
Yes. And it's not scripted, just to give a little insight, it's not scripted move for move. It wouldn't be scripted anything like that.
Okay.
We would specify who was winning or who was losing, how they were winning or losing, you know, via pinfall, disqualification, whatnot. And also we would throw in if we needed anything specific to happen that we knew we would maybe want to call back to at a later point to further either that storyline or another storyline. Because we were always thinking several weeks, sometimes several months in advance. And if we ever could lay in some little layer now that we would call back to later and say, oh, remember that during that tag team match when he reached to his partner for a tag and his partner was distracted? His partner wasn't distracted. He was ignoring him. Now it's all perfectly clear. And that's how we would do that. So that would be the extent of our involvement in the matches themselves. Who was winning and how and if anything else had to happen. And the wrestlers, we would sit down with them beforehand and go over the match and explain to them what was happening storyline-wise. And then we would leave it up to them to tell the story that we were trying to get across, as long as they knew the bullet points of what we needed.
So at its best, it's really it's improv theater.
Very much so, especially the matches themselves. There's a lot of improvisation going there because the wrestlers know how to give all these moves, how to take all these moves. They know how to create a flow in their match and tell a story in the match, and they just go with it. Sometimes they talk to each other a little bit in the ring and, you know, call moves and say, you know, as they're whipping a guy into the ropes, as the guy is passing him, they'll say, watch the elbow. And when the guy comes off, the attacker will put his elbow up, and the guy will go down from getting hit in the face with an elbow.
Yeah. Do they ever go off script? Do they say, I don't want to do that?
Oh yeah, I mean that was the thing. As one of the guys who was saying who wins and who loses at any given TV or pay-per-view taping, with half of the locker room, I was one of the most popular guys in the building, and with the other half of the locker room, I was the most unpopular guy because I was the guy who was saying you're winning, you're losing. But it becomes a part of it because there are so many times when sometimes, you know, I would go up to one of the boys and say, okay, here's what we're doing. You have to, and this is more wrestling terminology, you have to put him over tonight. To put him over means to make him win, to make him look good. And, you know, he needs to win this match tonight. And I would get a blank stare and the response would be, well, he can't beat me. And I would say, well, yeah, he can, because A, it says so right here in the format. And B, he's facing the champion at the pay-per-view next Sunday. Now, if you beat him, why is he facing the champion at the pay-per-view? So, and sometimes it was a negotiation process with some of the guys. Okay, fine. He'll beat you tonight, but in 2 weeks, you'll beat so-and-so. And it, you know, the one thing I've always said is in a lot of instances, the only people who really think it's still real are some of the wrestlers themselves.
Ed Ferrara worked as senior storyline writer and talent producer for World Wrestling Entertainment. He's currently a professor at Columbia College in Chicago.